Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That's from Psalm 85, verse 10. What does that mean? How can two different principles that seem almost diametrically opposed, truth, justice, judgment, and mercy, be held together in the same place? How is it that they can even kiss? We're going to do a deep dive on this today as we consider this amazing truth. Listen in. Welcome to the 1 Year Audio Bible Podcast. Today is March 11th. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week, we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Old Testament and from the King James for the New Testament. Exodus 29:1-18. This is what you shall do to them in consecrating them to serve me as Kohanim. Take a young bull of the herd and two rams without blemish. Also unleavened bread, unleavened cakes with oil mixed in, and unleavened wafers spread with oil. Make these of choice wheat flour. Place these in one basket and present them in the basket along with the bull and the two rams. Lead Aaron and his sons up to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then take the vestments and clothe Aaron with the tunic, the rub of the ephod, and the breastpiece, and gird him with the decorated band of the ephod. Put the headdress on his head and place the holy diadem upon the headdress. Take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Then bring his sons forward. Clothe them with tunics and wind turbans upon them, and gird both Aaron and his sons with sashes. And so they shall have priesthood as their right for all time. You shall then ordain Aaron and his sons. Lead the bull up to the front of the tent of meeting, and let Aaron and his sons lay their hands upon the head of the bull. Slaughter the bull before Hashem at the entrance of the tent of meeting, and take some of the bull's blood and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger. Then pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. Take all the fat that covers the entrails, the protuberance on the liver, and the two kidneys with the fat on them, and turn them into smoke upon the altar. The rest of the flesh of the bull, its hide, and its dung shall be put to the fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Next, take the one ram and let Aaron and his sons lay their hands upon the ram's head. Slaughter the ram and take its blood and dash it against all sides of the altar. Cut up the ram into sections, wash its entrails and legs, and put them with its quarters and its head. Turn all of the ram into smoke upon the altar. It is a burnt offering to Hashem, a pleasing odor, an offering by fire to Hashem. Mark 15:1-47. And straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answering said to him, "You say it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answer you nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against you." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at that feast he released to them one prisoner whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done to them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will you that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas to them. And Pilate answered and said again to them, "What will you then that I shall do to him whom you call the king of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him!" Then Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him!" And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas to them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him and, bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two thieves, one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Oh, you that destroyed the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is, being interpreted, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calls Elijah." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it him to drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered to him, and many other women which came up with him to Jerusalem. And now, when the evening was come, because it was preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly to Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling to him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone onto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. Psalm 54, 1-7. Save me, O God, by your name, and judge me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God, give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Selah. Behold, God is my helper, the Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto my enemies and cut them off in your truth. I will freely sacrifice unto you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me out of all trouble, and my eye has seen his desire upon my enemies. Proverbs 11:5-6. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. 4, 3, 2, 1. I want to paint a picture for you so that you can relate to this and apply it to your life. Let's just imagine that you go to a pizza party and it's a celebration. Maybe you've been to a football game and your team has won and now you're all hanging out having pizza and you have a beer or two with your pizza. So you finish eating your pizza and your beer, you hang out with your friends and now you get in the car to go home. You're not terribly drunk, just slightly tipsy. You get in the car and you start heading down the road and maybe it's a winding highway that's on a sheer mountain. It's a mountainous highway with a big cliff on the right-hand side. And it's dark, it's late, and then all of a sudden there's another car coming at you from the opposite direction and you're in the wrong lane and you almost have a head-on collision. So that car veers off way to the side of the road to avoid hitting you head on. And that car goes right over the edge of the cliff. And you find out later, as the police arrive, there was a woman in this car and she was 8 months pregnant. They rush her to the hospital. She hangs on for a day and then she dies. And the baby dies with her. Months later, you're now in court, and charges have been brought against you for first-degree murder, not manslaughter, first-degree murder, because you've been drinking, and the accident was very avoidable, and the woman died along with her baby. The jury comes back with their verdict, and the verdict is guilty. And now we're in the sentencing phase of the trial, and the judge issues his verdict. Because you're guilty to the first degree murder charge, it's the death penalty. Life has just turned upside down. But imagine now somebody sitting in the back of the courtroom steps up. Your Honor, may I approach the bench? He says. Yes, you may. And this person steps forward and says, I understand that by the law, justice must be meted out, and an innocent life, two lives, were lost in this whole situation. Please, you can take out the death penalty on me. I will take the punishment. Let this person go free. In essence, this is exactly what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. When we look at the cross, we see two incredible things that seem diametrically opposed happening at the same time. One is incredible mercy, and the other is God's perfect truth and judgment. We see God's judgment being meted out because the wages of sin is death, and not just a murder. Most of us are not murderers, but do we gossip? Do we have jealousy? Do we have pride? Do we have unforgiveness or bitterness? Have we ever stolen? Those are all sins, and the wages of sin is death. So as we think about and gaze upon the cross, and think about Jesus hanging there, experiencing an excruciatingly painful death, we see the mercy of God that there was a substitution. I didn't have to go and take that death penalty, neither did you. Jesus took it in our place. And that's God's mercy and his forgiveness. But we also see his just judgment and his truth being executed as well. There's a few verses here I want to share with you about the mercy and the truth of God as they are side by side. Psalm 57:3, he shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him who would swallow me up. Selah, God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Psalm 57, verse 10, for your mercy is great unto the heavens, and your truth to the clouds. Psalm 61, verse 7, he shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. Psalm 85, verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now, when you think about the cross, and what Jesus accomplished on the cross by meeting God's perfect standard of holiness and paying the price, receiving the punishment that you and I deserve, his death. And in exchange, we receive his righteousness. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And that's what happened on the day that he was crucified on the cross. Psalm 86, verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalm 89, verse 14, justice and judgment are the habitation of your throne. Mercy and truth shall go before your face. When you think about it, one day when we are in the very presence of a holy God, absolutely holy, full of light, with no darkness, no sin. And you and I, we fall far short of that. What allows us to approach the throne of God the Father? We will be wearing the robe of Jesus Christ, not our own self-righteous acts, which are like filthy rags, but Yeshua's robe. His robe covers us, covers our nakedness, covers our sin. Covers us. It is in Christ that we are able to approach the Father. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Psalm 108, verse 4, for your mercy is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the clouds. So, Father, today we think about and we reflect on the incredible sacrifice that Jesus made so that we could be declared righteous, so that we did not have to take the punishment, which is death, for the wages of sin is death. Thank you, Father, that Jesus was obedient and he died on the cross so that when we believe on him, we can have right relationship with you. We are considered, we're declared righteous before you. We are forgiven. We stand in your grace and in your mercy, in your kindness and in your forgiveness. Thank you, Father, for that incredible sacrifice that Jesus made for each and every one of us. Thank you that as we think about and gaze upon the cross, mercy and truth have kissed. We love you, we bless you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, please enjoy this beautiful worship song, Crucified, Laid Behind a Stone.
Above all kings. above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what
above.